Amen. We're going to turn to Romans 9. Amen. Maybe. Amen. All right. You heard him, Brother Joe. 10 of, right? Amen. Romans 9. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, I love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for being so good to me, Lord. I just thank you for so being so good to all of us in here, Lord. Just thank you for my church, Lord. I just thank you for this week, Lord. Thank you for all the preachers coming in, Lord, and just giving us what you've told them to give us, Lord. I just ask you to help us, Lord, to receive what you've given us, Lord, and do something about it. Please, God, I'll be with us during Sunday school, Lord. Just help us to have a desire, Lord, to look at your word and learn more about you, Lord. Again, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we'll go to Romans 9. It's where we finished off last week. All right, so we're actually going to start on verse 21. We've been going through this for a couple weeks. I know it feels like a couple years, amen. So Romans 21 is where we left off last time. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And I almost think that verse covers this whole revival. Yep. The way the preacher's been preaching, what they've been talking about, at least for me personally, what I've gotten from it is, you know, what am I doing? What am I allowing God to do in me or through me? Yeah. And so we talked about Romans 9. It's a tough book. Of course, we went through about the different things for Israel and all the things they saw and all the things they had afforded to them and available to them, and they were still rejected Jesus Christ. They knew it. And we've heard through the preaching, through the Word of God, and some different things. It made me think, I can't remember the missionary's name, but there was this missionary that went to Africa. And he was concerned, and he knew he needed to get to Africa to tell the heathens about their sin and how they needed to stop doing it. And it took him some time, and he got over there, and he got over there, he did all he could do. And you know what he found out? He found out they knew they were in sin, but they liked their sin. And that's, through this week of revival, we know what's right, and we know what's wrong. We just don't care. Or we love our sin more than we love God. And we need to get to a point where we realize that, and hopefully, when I got saved and Jesus Christ moved inside of me, he's going to start convicting me and working on that on me. So hear this verse, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel in honor and another unto dishonor? Let's go to Jeremiah. We'll go to Jeremiah chapter 18. And normally I'd pick different people to read, but just for sake of time, I'll read through this here real quick. So Jeremiah 18, what's the Bible say? It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So here, let's hit another verse or two, and then I'm going to comment on this. Let's go over to Jeremiah 19. Jeremiah 19. I'm just going to read verses 1, then 4, and then verse 10. So verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests. Verse 4. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Verse 10. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of men that go with thee. Let's go over to 2 Timothy to kind of connect all this. 2 Timothy, go to chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 19 and just read through 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, that's not makeup he's wearing, amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We could stay there for a while, amen. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge from what? I want you to read your Bible later and check that out. I want to talk about real quick is, we're supposed to be a vessel, amen. The potter makes us. The potter can do what he wants with a vessel. You can do what you want with something that you've made or created. So you don't have to stay a vessel of dishonor. You can be a vessel of honor. It's your choice. If you are a vessel of honor, you're not just going to stay a vessel of honor. You have to make the choice to stay a vessel of honor, or else you're going to become a vessel of dishonor. So God's making us. He's working on us. He's still working on me, amen. But he makes your vessel with your help. How amazing is that? He allows you to make choices. We spoke earlier in this chapter about will. We have free will. God's given us the choice. He doesn't want us to be robots. I all the time think, oh, it'd be awesome, Lord, if you could, I could just be a robot and you could control me and make me do everything I'm supposed to do the right way. You know what Pastor said? It's right here. But you got to read it and you got to pray about it. And you got to make that decision. So in Jeremiah, what happens with that one vessel? It can get broken. God can make it. God can repair it. But God also can destroy it. So there's a lot of talk about the fight and stuff. I didn't watch it last night. I'm married with a daughter and I live with my mother. I don't need to watch fights on TV, amen. No, I'm being facetious. I'm joking. I've got a good family, amen. But all the talk about the fight and the excitement and stuff, I like that kind of stuff. I just personally, I can't watch it or deal with it anymore, but it's a picture of the Christian life, amen. And the two guys that got in the ring, they made a choice to get in that ring. They decided to fight for something. Now, I'm curious today, the day after, if one of them's like upset or crying, the winner or loser, you know, he hit me. I think his sweat got on me. Maybe he spit on me a little bit. He called me dumb or ugly. They knew when they got in the fight, things were going to happen. And of course, with promotion in this world and media and all this kind of stuff, they, you know, talk all this junk just to get more people to spend their money that they can't tithe, but they can pay for pay-per-view, but to get in to watch the fight. I read online yesterday or the day before, the seats were going from $2,500 to $10,000 a seat. Yet, we can't get people in church, amen. Maybe preachers should start charging, and we'd fill this place out, amen. That'd be awesome. So, but as a vessel, if you're in a fight, you got to realize you're going to get some chips. And I like Brother Soche said about Brother Chandler's message, I've been in some wrecks, but I haven't forgotten. I know where to go back to get fixed. Israel didn't, they knew where to go to get fixed. They chose not to go there, though. You know what they chose to do? Hey, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? Aha, there's one. They think what I want. I don't care what God says. So as a vessel, it just makes sense. We should go to our Creator who made us to get fixed. Israel had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And I keep falling short and keep messing up. But I'm going to get back in the ring, and I'm going to keep trying again and trying again and trying again. Amen. That's the Christian life. The Christian life isn't, I love this brother, I love this sister, so I'm going to ignore their sin because I love them. I'm going to ignore their sin. No. If you love them, you're not going to ignore their sin. You're going to tell them, hey, your vessel's got a chip, and that chip's going to lead to a crack, and that crack's going to break the whole thing apart. You need to get back to the potter, amen? So Israel had their choice. Now, of course, I like to apply it as I just was as a Christian. We should look at Israel. Israel's God's people. They rejected him. Now we're God's children. We reject him. There's so many types that compare us to Israel. We don't get all their promises. I know that. But when you're reading your Bible, you want to look for those type of things. I've said this a few times. My wife and I first started reading our Bible. We had never heard of Dr. Ruckman. We had never heard of Hiles Anderson CD or any of these other preachers or anyone's thoughts on anything. We just read our Bible. And Tiffany said, Ken, what's this mean? I'm like, I have no idea. A day or two later, I'm like, Tiffany, what do you think this means? I was not afraid to ask my wife. She's like, I have no idea. We'd come and sit in a Sunday school, and Pastor Ryman, or he'd pick some idiot or fool to get up here like me to say something, and they'd say something just about what we were just talking about. And we'd look at each other and kind of smile. We didn't think they had a video camera in our house. We were really stupid and just believed it was God. Amen. And we still have that stupidity. We just believe God enough that he's going to give us what we need. And slowly, by sitting in here, and I was just teasing Michael Shane. I said, it's really rough because doing junior church, I miss my pastor, my favorite pastor, my favorite preacher. I get to miss his preaching every week because of being in junior church. Sunday night, I'm all pumped up. Yeah, preacher's going to preach. And I told Michael Shane, and then he calls Michael Shane. And I'm like, oh, I want preacher to preach. If not preacher, maybe me. But and Michael Shane knew I was kind of joking, but that's our flesh. You know, I want to hear my preacher preach. Michael Shane or Joe or Ryan or Eric or anybody could have the greatest message on earth, but they're not my preacher. And I get that mindset. I need to start realizing that my God can use anybody to give me something if my heart's right and I want it. So I've got to work on that vessel. So it was funny. This morning I was looking over this, and I thought, man, I feel like that verse has been hit on in different forms throughout this whole revival. If we could just get that through our head, that we're just a big old hunk of dust, that God's mowing. But it's really cool because he gives us the option to get involved, and we get to decide what we want to be. Oh, brother, I'm bitter at God because of my cancer because I smoked for 30 years. It's all God's fault. He gave me cancer. He could have cured me. God didn't put that cigarette in your hand. God gave you the free will to make the decision to do right. You chose not to, though. Now, God will forgive you, but God doesn't need to ask for your forgiveness, for your choices. And that's the thing. It's our choice as a Christian. Israel made choices. When you read in your Bible, you see Israel made all these choices. So let's look in Romans 9, verse 22. You got to pay attention when you're reading here. What if, okay, we don't want to base a doctrine on that. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, amen. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, now I'm going to read verse 9. And verse 9 is a really, really bad word. And the last word in verse 9 is a really, really bad word. So I'm going to read it anyway. So just We'll get through this. I'm sure the commercials last night on that fight had a lot worse stuff in than this. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is a tough word for churches, it seems like. I don't understand why. Nobody wants to say they're sorry. No one wants to say they did something wrong because it made them feel good when they did it. They feel dirty and filthy afterwards, but they don't want to admit that. They want to cover it up. We can't even tell people, hey, brother, you know, you're involved in this ministry. You're in charge. This is wicked. This is wrong. But I like it. It makes me feel good. And no one else at church has come to me about it because either they're filthy and wicked or they're afraid or they're still praying that God's going to tell you. But I like the story. I think it was a Marine was in a class, and the professor was a liberal atheist and said he didn't believe in God, and he was going to prove there was no God, and he stands out on the side, and there's a few hundred people there, and he says, God, if you're real, I'll give you 10 minutes to knock me on my butt. And he just stands there. And the way the story goes, there's a Marine who just got back from fighting for our country and freedom of speech and everything who was saved sitting back there. And he was thinking, what an idiot. And he's just doing his own thing, you know, thinking about other stuff, looking at the other stuff in the lesson, not there to listen to this guy's foolishness, just to learn to get the stupid piece of paper on the grade. And it's almost 10 minutes up, and he thinks, you know what? He has this urge, this feeling. So he gets up, walks up, and he knocks the professor out. The professor comes to and says, what are you doing? He's like, God was busy. He asked me to come knock you out, amen. So God will use people, amen, and use things, amen. So, hey, God told me to tell you to do it. God told me to tell you not to do it. I'll tell you one thing. God told me to tell you, you need to read your Bible. Yeah. Amen. So I think it's, you have a lot better case when you stand before God, and this isn't going to happen, but in, logically you think you're going to stand before God and justify everything you've done. You have a lot better chance of winning the argument if you at least prepare yourself and read the book first. Don't just look for one verse, because I can find a verse and I can go on that one verse about how I can live this way and say this thing. But at the same time, I can ignore the verse about loving my daughter and loving my wife and not treating them right. I can ignore those verses about my household and how to raise up children. I can ignore all that, but pick up a verse about something you're not supposed to do. Now, we're flesh. We tend to do that. Israel was flesh. They saw all these miracles so much more than us, and they still messed up. If we know that, we should stay focused in our book and think, Lord, they saw so much and had so much, and they still forsook you and just rejected you. So we don't want to be like that, amen? So God doesn't want to show us his wrath. He wants us to repent. But you will see his wrath, amen, if you don't repent. It's so much easier just to repent, amen? So let's go back to Romans 9. Alrighty, so I got to pick it up a lot here. So Romans 9, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So we talked about predestination and foreknowledge. So God knows what we're going to do. I believe that. He knows, he knew, of course, because of how this chapter talks about Pharaoh and Esau, because of choices, I can tell you if you're saved, I know you're going to heaven. You're predestined. You're called if you're saved, amen. So you have to make a decision. Just like Israel, God gives us the free will. The Catholics going around cutting people's heads off, or now we changed it. Now it's ISIS doing that. But that same idea, that isn't real. I mean, it's filthy what they're doing, but that's not God. God comes to you and says, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to admit you're a sinner, and you need to believe he died and rose again on the third day for you. And now you need to call him and ask him. You tell me, like my neighbor, no, I was a hard man, this, different things. Michaela baked him a cake or cookies or something and gave him tracts. He just told me 2 days ago, I stopped by to talk to him for a second. He said, I've been wanting to talk to you. I said, I wanted you to know I got saved. He met some preacher who works at a garage. I'm like, a preacher who's a mechanic? Go course, he didn't get it, but our preacher's a mechanic, amen. But he talked to this preacher guy, and he was telling him about all these different things, and he ended up getting saved. And he said, he calls me Dudley. Dudley, I'll tell you, I went and told Bucky, he didn't say anything bad, he'd catch himself. I went and told all my family that I got saved, and like a week or two after that, I got baptized. And they don't believe it. And this whole conversation we're talking, it was probably an hour and a half, we're talking about how good the Lord is. He was telling me different stories, and his wife came out, and we were talking. A month ago before, the last time I'd spoken to him or so, every other word was a curse word. Every other word was a curse word. And he had a chip on his shoulder, he had anger. This time, he's excited, he's smiling, he's talking about how pretty the birds are and the squirrels and all these different things. He's so happy. Didn't say a single curse word. At the end of the conversation, the very last thing he said, he was telling me a story about something he had said foolishly a long time ago and how he had said Jesus Christ. The way, of course, he said it was blasphemy to some people. It was bad, but he was talking about what he used to do. And his wife's behind him like, oh, sorry, he's done so well. I'm sorry he blasphemed. He's half deaf. He can't hear her talking to me, apologizing for him. But it was okay because all the other words were gone. He was saying something that he had said. He said, oh, I said this one time. But you could tell his spirit, the Lord's going to get rid of that. He'll stop doing that soon. But in just a week or two, there was a change in him. Just a week or two. That had hit me. My wife and I have talked before. We didn't get rid of everything right away. But the first year, we made drastic changes. And since then, we're still making changes. Some things we don't want to give up. Some things we don't want to stop. It's our flesh. And that's what Israel did. They didn't want to give up. I remember Pastor's testimony. He had never given up. And finally, he dropped his hands and surrendered to the preaching, and he got saved. Amen. So let's go. All right, we'll look at, I'm going to skip all that. So I'm sorry for time, guys. I want to try to get this done. So let's look at Romans 9:24. We talked about glory, I think, a few weeks ago and all that. So 9:24. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So my first street preaching verse was Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just say that over and over and over again, because I only had a minute or two before the light changed and the cars would leave. And I got really frustrated with it. And I was talking to Brother Joe and Brother Cameron, who's a pastor now, and they said, that's the only verse you knew. Say it over and over again. That person listening might have heard it three times, four times, five times. It's going to give them something to think on, amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. So the Lord's called us, once you're saved, to be a vessel of honor and to do right. So we make our own choices. Let's look at verse 25, 9:25. Apologize, I'll stop at 27. We'll hit a few verses there, but let's look at verse 25. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Let's hit Hosea real quick. Hosea 2. Say it's right after Daniel. So Hosea 2:23 is what I wrote down. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. So we went through earlier when we were going through this chapter how God chose Abraham and Jacob and Israel, how he chose them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we were strangers and aliens to God. We weren't God's people. This world tells you you're fine just the way you are. You don't need Jesus Christ. Churches have gotten that humanism. They're doing the same thing. You're fine just the way you are. You're not fine just the way you are. You need Jesus Christ. And when you get saved and Jesus Christ starts working on you, there should be some change. Amen. If you're still doing things that you did when you were lost, you need to talk to Jesus Christ about it. And you need to look in his book. Counsel with a preacher. Ask him about it. Israel didn't want to make changes. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They didn't want to follow the rules. They wanted to burn incense to other gods. They wanted to kill their own babies. They wanted to do all these filthy things. Oh, I'll never be that bad. You're getting close, amen. You'll watch it on TV. So let's go to, in 27, we talked about the word remnant. And of course, I got to give a definition every time I'm up here. So I didn't know what the word remnant was years ago. So it's a residue. It's that which is left after the separation, removal, or destruction of a part. It's a small group, a small piece. So just in the definition, I looked at a Webster's 1828, that which is left after the separation, removal, or destruction. That's so negative and offensive. Separation, removal, destruction? I don't want to separate from people that aren't doing right. I don't want to remove myself. God's not going to destroy anything. I can tell you're not reading your Bible, amen. Now look at Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. Now, Doc taught us all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, if I wasn't doing right, there's a verse in here that I can show you, and it's out of context, but I can justify smoking Camel cigarettes. Because people are filthy, and they can justify. I can take a verse about, and there's a verse that you can back that up with. That a guy pulled on me in Pensacola, an atheist guy. Totally blew me away. Doc used to give a verse that he has one verse, if you take it out of context, you can justify the church house being an orgy place, a filthy place. I've said it before, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I just stop right there. That's out of context. That's not what the verse says. That's not the whole verse. So let's look at Isaiah. We'll start in chapter 1. God is love. God is love, but he's a lot of other things too, amen. Read your Bible. God loves me. God does love you. He wants you to do right, amen. I love my daughter. When she does wrong, our fellowship is broken until she gets it right. She's still my daughter. Isaiah 1, let's look at verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left on us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Let's go over to Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10, 20 through 25. And it shall come to pass in the day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again say upon him that smote them, but shall say upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make the consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. Good, Isaiah 11. Look at verse 10 through 12. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Amen. Let's go to Jeremiah. So remnant shows up quite a few times. You should really study out remnant, amen, in the New Testament as well. So Jeremiah 31, and I'm just going to hit a few verses here. I'll just do Jeremiah 31, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Verse 8, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. So let's go over to Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel 6. So Ezekiel 6, we'll look at verse 8. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries. Look at Ezekiel 11, verse 13. Ezekiel 11, 13. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Peleth, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? So let me move on for sake of time. So I'm not going to go into the New Testament, but if you get a chance, you can, with a concordance, study the word remnant and go through and see some different things that it means and how it goes through and how it applies to us and how it mostly applies to Israel and for what's coming in the future. Amen. Let's go back to Romans 9. Only got a few minutes. I don't see Brother Joe waving at me yet, so. Amen. Let's go back to Romans 9. I had like 20 more verses I was going to go over for that, but we'll stop there. Amen. So Romans 9, let's look at verse 28. So Romans 9, 28. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. We just read that similar back in Isaiah. So let's look real quick at Revelation 8. Alrighty, let's, it's all good. I'm trying to read my chicken scratch. I try to type out as much as I can, but all right, let's look here real quick. In my head, I thought I was going to have a lot more time to get through the other one. All right, let's read Revelation 8 when you get home. It's all good, amen. Let's go over. Let me look at Matthew to see if that's the one. I was tempted to get up here like with an NIV or something and read it and just see if anyone would stop me or if people would just ignore it and just keep amening and keep looking. So let's turn to Matthew 24. So from Romans 9:28, the Lord's long-suffering. Amen. So let's look at Matthew 24. Maybe it's 29. It's 24. So we'll read 21 through 24. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, and those shall be shortened. Those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So I know we talked about the elect and the predestination and all that. And I'm trying to hit a couple verses here. 29, 30. I guess we're just going to have to stop here. But when you get a chance, study out the word remnant and go through it and look at it. If you're going to go online, make sure it's a King James Concordance, amen. Thy word is true or something. But you can get a book, a concordance, a Crudence, or a Young's, or Strong's, and just study out the words. And when you're going through different chapters, you can see what they mean. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for being so good to me, Lord. I apologize, Lord, for not finishing this out, Lord, and the confusion there at the end, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, no matter how small a people we may be, Lord, in this age, Lord, we are special to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live like a child of a king, Lord, and act like a child of a king, Lord. There's so much filth out in this world, Lord, and we just allow it into our homes, Lord. We speak it, Lord, and it ought not be so, Lord. Please help us learn from Israel's mistakes, Lord, and not reject you, Lord. Help us to accept you. Help us decide, Lord, that we're going to have some standards, Lord, and we're going to stand for you, Lord. We all the talk, Lord, the excitement, Lord, of a fight last night, Lord, help us to make a decision to get in the ring and fight ourselves, Lord, to do right. Amen. Our biggest battle, Lord, is just fighting ourselves, Lord, and just making that decision, Lord, that we want to do right and we want to serve you and we want to love you, Lord. Again, I love you, Lord. I thank you for all you've done, Lord. I ask you to be my pastor, Lord. Be with the services today, Lord, and the visitors, Lord, and just for the church group, Lord, the people that are here, Lord, I ask you please to help us all, Lord. Just crack this book open throughout the week, Lord, and amen. Just read something and study it out, Lord. Again, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Take a few minute break and we'll come back and get started a little earlier today. Folks will be coming in, so. All right. Good to be saved. Amen. 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 Amen.